Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Samach Beis. We'll start from the bottom of Kuf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, the final two lines on the Amud. What the Gemara tells us, "V'tzorach sheyachzer mi'inyonoi shel shtar b'shito achroina." When a sofer is writing out a shtar, you write out, of course, all of the important terms. You're finally at the end of the shtar, the very final line. You should not introduce anything new, but rather only repeat what you've already said previously in the shtar. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to repeat it verbatim, word for word, what we had in the shtar. It just means no chidushim. Don't introduce anything that wasn't previously said. And the reason for that is, my taima, what's the reason? Going to the top of Kuf Samach Deis Omer Aleph, Umrav Amram Lefisha Ein Lemeidin, Mishita Achroina, because we don't learn anything from the Shita Achroina. Basically, what he's saying is we ignore the substance of the Shita Achroina. The reason why we ignore the substance of the Shita Achroina is because we are concerned that maybe someone did a forgery and added on an additional line at the end of the contract. The contract with Moshe was to go and buy a house, or the contract was a promissory note. And in that final line, one of the two parties, presumably the Malve or the Moicher, said, and don't forget, you also owe me $1 million for the shtar, for the halvor that we had last week. Or there's a condition, don't forget we have to go and close by a certain date. Or you have to go and add an additional $50,000 for some sort of fee. Or whatever it happens to be. So someone could try to conveniently throw that in as the final line, when that was not a negotiated term. This is something that one of the two parties deceptively is throwing into the mix. Therefore, we say, anything that you have written on the last Shita Achroina, we're going to ignore. And in fact, if there is a valid, bona fide condition that they've agreed to, don't put it in the last line. Put it earlier on in the Shita. That being the case, says the Gemara, what are you going to fill up that last line with? You're going to fill it up with just a repeat from what you said before. And the repeat doesn't have to be that you actually go through the material terms and write it once again over. It's enough, says Rishbam, like we write in our shtaris today, V'konina min ployni bar ployni, k'chol ma v'kosav u'mefarish li'el. Like everything that we have said earlier on. Why do you have to add these words, komad de kosum afarish liel? Because this is a short form repetition. In other words, it's saying, and to go and certify that this is a valid contract, the kanina, there was a kinyan made by Pliny, all with respect to the foregoing terms as set forth in this document. Why was it necessary to go and say, with respect to all the foregoing terms? Of course, that's what the kinyan is all about. We repeat that to mekayim this din, to choyze minyan shel shtar, and as a result, since there are no chidushim, it's just repeating, so you're going to ignore it. So if somebody were to go and write in another additional line at the end of the shtar, deceptively after the closing, and saying, and by the way, you also owe me another $1 million, another $50,000, or some sort of condition, we're going to ignore it. So therefore, there's no purpose in that person adding the additional line, because we're not going to give it any recognition anyway.
What happened with Shari B'Kayim?
Very good question. So the Rishbam, we're going to get to the Rishbam momentarily, and he's going to say it's talking about that the Shtar did not say HaKosher B'Kayim. Because if it say HaKosher B'Kayim, we know that's the end, and you cannot add anything beyond that. And if you remember, Gemara said yesterday, even if you added another sentence and said, again HaKosher B'Kayim, you can only write one HaKosher V'Kayim, you cannot write two. That's why if you look just quickly at the Rishbam, Bill, the Rishbam addresses your point here on Kuf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, we'll see it shortly, right before the wide lines, he says, U'b'she'ein kosev b'shtar shor v'kayim mai. Hang here. So Mietchem, we will see that momentarily mit Eibisht and Tzilf. So let's try to understand the Gemara a little better. We're going to learn the Rishbam, 8-9 lines from the bottom of Kuf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. Dr. Rishbam, v'tzorach sheyachzer. Remember we said you have to be choyzer me'inyonoi shel shtar v'shitach reina. What means that you're choyzer? Dr. Rishbam, That's why we write at the end of the shtar those magic words. V'konina min ploini bar ploini li ploini. Reuven and Shimon are doing a transaction, a note, promissory note, whatever it is in the shtar. V'konina, and they made a kinyan, typically a kinyan sudr, from ploini bar ploini li ploini, for Reuven to Shimon. G'chol ma de kosum afarish li'el. Again, these are the magic words that we're inserting, which are the repetition. That's the chazara of the inyan shel shtar. Not that you're telling any of the substance. We're just saying that this kinyan now supports all of the foregoing terms that were set forth in this document. Obviously, that those words have no substance to them. There's nothing wrong with writing those words in because you're not going to learn anything. Continues the Rishba. The Haini Shemafarish, the koifol inyan akosel lamal. By putting in these words, he is therefore expressing and repeating what we said earlier. And that's how we are explaining these words in the Gemara. That what? Don't put any chidushim in other words, additional terms. Vishum tanai, and don't throw in a condition. Shahashtar toli boy, that the validity and the efficacy of this shtar will be dependent on that condition. She'ena kosel lamala, if it's not written earlier, if it's written earlier, you can repeat it. That's no problem. However, if you're going to put it at the end, lefish lo nilman mishita achroina, we're not going to read those words. We're going to ignore them. Can mefarsh to come on? V'nimtza she'iskai mashtara elyon b'loy hatanai. If, in fact, you really wanted to add a condition, I'm not talking about a forgery or a fraudulent addition. If in fact you want to throw in a condition, put it up earlier in the shtar. Don't leave it for the last line. Because if you leave it for the last line, we're going to ignore it. Said the Mishnah, said the Gemara, l'fisha'ein l'meidin mishidach reidin. We're not going to learn from it. And therefore, if we're going to ignore that tonight, and if in fact this whole shtar is only based on the fulfillment of that condition, we're not going to fulfill the condition, and therefore the shtar is going to be batel umavutl. V'yigba b'yishalai kedin. We're going to go and collect on the shtar unlawfully, illegally. Alpha b'yishalai niskayim atanai, because you were not nekayim that tonight that you put in at the end. El bedvarim she'en lanu tzorich behen l'ilmoy mimenu. Rather, throw in at the end yisayim shtaroi. Put in things, the Einland Tzorich Lilmed, things of non-substance. We don't have to learn. Theoretically, you can go and talk about who won the election or who won the Yankees and the Mets game. That you can put in because you're not going to learn anything from that anyway. Or, Kigoy Minyan Shashtar, just repeat Ashtikalev that you already said at the top. Repeat the address of the property or repeat the address of where the payment has to be made. Or things that were already cited before. So now if you ignore that final line, we're not going to lose anything. Because since it's just a repeat, so you ignore it, you ignore. But I won't know what it says here. You don't need to. Because if it's something which was already written before, it's written out fully. So you'll learn it from there. If it was not written before, you put it at the end. So sorry, don't put it in. No dvar chiddush. No new conditions. Those will have to be written earlier on. What's the reason my time? Now to the top of the Amar of Amram, because Ein Lemein Meshita Achroina, says the top Rishvam, Mepnei She'ein Ho Eidim Yecholim Lekarv Chasimosim Kol Kach B'Samach B'Soif HaShtar. Just as a matter of the physical nature of shtaris and the way people write and the way people sign, always when the initial text ends, you don't have the Eidim immediately start writing on that same line or immediately below it. You always leave an abyssal space. You always leave some space. If you can leave some space, I got a problem. Somebody might come and throw in an additional line. And therefore the Chum said, because that is a theoretical possibility, hopefully it never happens, but if it were to happen, Hilchach talking about it, Lachsam in Yonu Shashtar B'Shita Achroina, make sure that that final line of every shtar always just do a repeat on earlier words that you had in the shtar, either real substantive words, or like Rishbam said, Kicholma de Kosim Afarish Liel, that this is now certifies all of the foregoing terms set forth in this document, which are terms which really have no efficacy, no meaning to them. So then you have nothing to worry about. Nobody's going to learn anything.
So
it's from
just
that.
Why don't you just put a line?
You put a line. Theoretically, you could. I guess they
so
figure
just a check. Just a filler. I mean,
we're going to talk about fillers in a moment, Mitch. I'm on my base.
Well, in principle, it makes sense to review it all. I'm just saying, just to
But it looks like it's a topple. It's just to fill up the line.
Yeah, well, it could be filled, but also could have a part of it has a valid purpose. Just to make sure you review all the key elements.
It's going to. We're more going to talk a little bit later about fillers as well as. Tomorrow we're going to learn about perhaps smearing some ink in that spot to identify or to show that there's nothing written there of substance. It's just geschmiert. You take some ink and you make like a little picture over there. But Mitchum, we'll see that tomorrow. Beginning back to the Rishbam now. The vilti shikosu bo dovra tzarech. Don't write anything that you need to write in terms of a new chiddush or a new condition or anything. Now the aleph of the bach changes the loshon Rishbam slightly. If you look, it's the aleph right here to the right. The hashto not shahari im zayfu. The hashto im loy zayfu v'yosifu the acher zman. If they're not going to be mezayf, they're not going to add any additional forged words or counterfeit words later on, back to Rishbam, ain onu mafsidum klum. Then I don't have to worry about im loy nilmat heimena. Shari kvar kosov kol zeh lemala. The fact that this is real bona fide shtar, this is not a deception, this is not a forgery. This is the real McCoy, the real shitachren. The fact that we're not going to learn from it, no problem. Nothing lost, because everything is already written earlier. Im loy nilmat heimena, ain mafsidum. Since it's just a repeat. So, forget about it. And that's on the tzad that they're not mezayif. What happens if, unfortunately, after everything is signed and sealed, we give the shtar to the malve, or to lekeach, or to whomever we give it to? What happens if somebody is mezayif and adds an additional line? between where the shtar ends, where the edim begin, it doesn't bother me. It's not good nor bad. You don't learn the shita achrayna anyway. So whichever way you do it, whether this is going to be a bona fide last line or if it's going to be a crooked last line, since I'm going to ignore it, so nothing ventured, nothing lost, nothing gained, nothing to worry about. And now Bill's point. All of this is talking about that it doesn't say shorvek. Once it says shorvek, which means this is the end, signed and sealed, finished, none of this is really of any import. You don't have to worry about adding a line and not adding a line. Once it says kosher, that's where the shtar ends. And you don't have to worry about this ziyuf issue. This is the ikkupshat. So now that we've said this, the Gemara is just going to add a drop more back to the Gemara. At the top of the Amud, we already said, Amr Rabba Lefisha, maybe Nishita Achrayna, you don't learn from that final line, and therefore, Amr Rabba Nachman Rabba Amram, Minolachaha, where does Rabba Amram take this halacha from? Amr Leda Saini for the following Braisa. Says in the Braisa, Hirchikas Eidim Shnei Shita Menaksav, Pas, Shita Achas, Kosher. Aha, the scribe wrote out the shtar beautifully. He ended it nicely. Again, he didn't write in Hakosher Vekai. We left that out, like Rishbam said. And then Edom knew, whenever the Edom come, they should sign. The scribe goes home, he says, Shkoyach, Zag is in, to be well. And then subsequently the Edom come in. And when they start signing, they could sign on the line below the text, or they might skip a line and sign two lines below the text. Says the Brai said, Hirchik is Edom, Shnei Shittim, and Aksav. If they in fact only signed two spaces, two lines worth, post the text of the shtar. The shtar is parcel, no good, parcel. Shita achas, if they only skipped one line and then they signed their names, then it's kosher. The obvious question is, Maishna shnei shitim, what's the reason why two lines you're concerned? Til mezayif, v'kosav, maybe somebody's going to go and add an additional line, post the text prior to the chasimah se'edim. So that's what you're concerned about by two lines. No, shita achas, I'm mezayif v'kosav. Why don't you have that same concern by one line? Man ishtana, two lines from one line. Two lines of space. Oi, fossil, ay, ay, ay. One line is kusha. What's the difference? Because the Shita Achrayin you basically ignore anyway. It has not, doesn't add or subtract from the document. So if you were to go and leave one line of space, and you consider, oh, yeah, yeah, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to write in a whole Megillah in that one line of space. We're not going to look at it. We're going to ignore it. Makes no difference. However, if you left two lines of space, and then somebody filled in the two lines, we'll ignore the final line, but we're not going to ignore the penultimate line. And the penultimate line may say something of substance.
Shita means line, it doesn't mean subject.
Shita means a line. In the Arkan, in other contexts, shita means something else. A person has a shita, he's very much in faith, he's a Democrat, he's, that's his shita. The other guy's a Republican, that's his shita. Here, shitas mean lines. Anyway, so the Gemara says that's how you know, he asks, what's the makor? From this price, the fact that the price is distinguished between two lines and one line. Because one line you don't care, you're not going to learn from it anyway. Two lines you will, then you got to be concerned.
But if the line, the first of the two lines, if it says all, it reviews everything that's in the document, mm-hmm. and then if someone adds another line, mm-hmm. and plus he owes me $1 million,
mm-hmm.
that would be ignored because
that last line would be ignored.
That last line would be ignored.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Because you're not, you don't
made them into the Shita Achrayin. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So even if there's two lines, what's the issue?
Because two lines is that the last line is going to be choizer. Everything.
Oh, he's gonna.
It's the line
smart,
before.
He's a smart
cookie.
He reviews everything. But then, okay.
Yeah. So therefore, one second, Shlomo. So therefore, in the final line, he knows that you're choizim inyan shoshab shidachon. You're sure. And they write at the end, we certify everything we said before. So that's the final line. But the line right before that he'll say, and don't forget the $1 million. And since we only ignore the final line, we don't ignore both final lines, so the line before that, known as the penultimate line, that will have the ultimate effect, that people will read that and say, oh, and he owed me $1 million. So don't leave out the two lines, only leave out the maximum.
But the penultimate line he wrote in this condition, and that condition, and call short of time, then he puts another line and says, and again reviews it, so it's going to
That's our concern. That's the concern. That's why you leave out two lines, it's possible. Because the final line we'll ignore, but the line before that he may have put an immaterial term that did not previously appear in this document, like, and don't forget the $1 million that you owe me.
But what about the third line above? Hasn't that already reviewed and summarized what was in the shtar?
Okay, so you have two summaries. That doesn't bother us. In fact, we're not going to look at the last line, so even know what it says in the last line.
Okay.
But so that's the difference between one line and two lines. Shlomo has a question. If you don't mind, Shlomo, I'm just going to learn the Rishbam to the bottom of the Amud, and then no, please, I want to hear the question. So it says the Rishbam on the bottom. Again, to address Bill's issue, it does not say shor v'kayim. Affiliyesh edim she lo noisa boy dover ziyav. So now Rishbam adds one more knesh. What happens if Baruch Hashem nobody wrote? Hitaka left out two lines. Nobody wrote anything. There were no mezaifim, no fraud. Everything was great. But we find a year later, 5 years later, the time of maturity, the two lines which are blank at the end of the shtar. So well, okay, no, nobody did anything. No problem. No, it's a possible shtar, says Rishbam. See that?
Wow.
And ain kosev by shor v'kayim. Affiliyesh edim shle noisev bazav ziyav. Even though we have two Adam that memorized the entire shtar from beginning to end, and now 2 years later they come back and say, not a word was added. It's exactly the way it was 2 years ago. We were there, we remember. Mikol makom ha'shtar chasm bi'almahu. This shtar is worthless. Why? Shleinase ketikin chachomim. Therefore, kemilval pedamia. The shtar will be a shtar chasm bi'alma. He doesn't lose the loan, but he loses the shibudim of the loan. They're no longer any... And he leans on any karka because it's just like a milva al peh. Anyway, why is there a difference between two lines and one line? Dr. Rishbam, elaf shlamina, ein lemein mishah achreina, mishita achreina, hilkach hirchik shnei shitim pasal. Shiochel ezaif shnei shitim. Nilmaid min harishayna. You'll be mezayach. Two lines. We'll ignore the final line. Don't look at the final line. Put on blinders. I don't care what it says. The line before I will look. Oh, he owes me $1 million. Etc. Shema mina. That's the end of the shtickle. Shlomo, please, mechubad. What's your question?
I was thinking about the size of a line. And it probably was a standard size. the depth of a line.
Mm-hmm.
Like today we see on a star, but they're not always the same. So you have to determine the spacing, the one or two spacing at the end, for instance, and where the signatures will be based on the actual time and stuff. Each one might be a little bit different. So is that how it was determined by each star? Looking at the length of these lines, or was there a standard that was used pretty much? I know we see in like writing a Torah, let's say, any kind of scroll, a sofer has a certain depth for each line, but that could still vary in slight bounds.
Shlomo, the questions that you are raising are very, very good questions, and in fact, that's going to be the focus of the beginning of tomorrow's daf. If you look at the bottom of Kuf Samach Beis Amud Beis, we're now on the top of Kuf Samach Beis. You look at the last line, the Gemara begins, Iboy Lehu Shnei Shitin Sha'amun. We're talking about these two lines, top of Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, that's Tamar Adav, Hein Vaviran, Oidom Hein Veloy Aviran. Do you have two lines and then you have space between the lines to make sure that you don't have the two lines clashing or merging? Is there a space in between?
Double spaced or not?
Double spaced or not? And then the Gemara asks a couple of lines later, not asks, but the Gemara says, if you look a fifth line from the top of Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Reb Shapsi Omer Mishmei Dechizkia, Shnei Shitim Sh'omru B'Ksav Yidei Edem, V'Lei Ksav Yidei Soifer, the size of the font that they put on the line, those lines accommodate the Ksav of the Edem and not of the Soifer. What does that mean? Amyachim will learn tomorrow, and Rishbam explains, because since the Sofrim are professional scribes, many of them were able to write in small lettering, small font. Most people, however, that don't write as often and are not professional scribes, write with larger letters, larger font. So now we're talking about these two lines, which are empty space at the end of the shtar. Are we talking about those that can accommodate smaller font, and therefore smaller lines? Or we're talking about larger lines to accommodate regular people who are not professional scribes? So the types of questions that you're addressing, we will address tomorrow. We look forward to Mirat Hashem.
Now, hopefully, all lines are the same.
And hopefully we'll be able to respond, and if not, if you still have an open question, we'll try to answer.
There are a lot of pieces to it. There are
a lot of pieces. Now, since we spoke about two lines and one line, we have a shayla that you would often find in the name of Rabbi Yirmiya, and that is, Iboilu Shitu Mechtzemai. What happens if in between the text and the signatures, you didn't have two lines. Or one line, you have one and a half. What are you going to do now? What's the deal? And the Gemara is going to try to bring a raya from the braisa that we just quoted. Toshima. Here is the Eidim Shnei Shitin. Two lines, we said, is possible. Izach Mashma, a Shitin Mechzis Kosher. Only two is possible. One and a half should be okay. Eima Sefer, Shita Achas is Kosher. Oh, it's only one line, you're okay. Shita Achas Uda Kosher, a Shitin Mechzis is possible. So you have a diuk from the Reisha that it's kosher. You have a diuk from the Sefer that it's not kosher. We cannot bring any convincing raya one way or the other, because either the Reisha is dafka or the Sefer is dafka, but I don't know which one. So therefore, you cannot conclusively answer this question. But we have another raya, my havila. So from the Brisa of the Amud Aleph, we could not be poished it. But I can be poished from a brand new Brisa. And this price is l'chayra directly on point. This may have a lot of toshima. The sign you learn at a brayser. Hirchik esa edim shnei shitim menaksav posel pachas mikan kosher. What does it say in the brayser? If you marchik the edim two spaces, two lines of space between the ksav, between the end of the text and the chasimus edim, it's posel. Okay, so far we just repeated what we've known until now. But Pachas Mikan, if it's less than that, he doesn't say, if it's only one line, it's kosher. If it's less than two shitim, it's kosher. Is the Charaya that even 1.5, 1.5 lines, is also kosher. The only time it's possible, if you have two full lines, 1.5 lines is still kosher. Now, continuing on the Braisa, Hoyu Arbo'o V'Chamisha Edim Chasumen Al Hashtar. What happens if you have four or five Edom signed on the shtar? Normally you only have two. Here you had four or five. V'nimtze echem mehem karev u'pasel. And then you discover that one of them happens to be a karev or a pasel. So what do you do now? Oy, oy, oy. We normally have a rule that nimtze echem mehem karev u'pasel, the whole thing is pasel. Here it says in the braisa tiskayim edus b'shar. All you have to do is you can mekayim the edus with the other Edom. In other words, you only need two. And here you have four or five, and you discover one or two of them have to be Krovim or Psulim.
We learn that if you go to a diet, to a two Edim or Kosher, three Edim or Kosher, but one of the three or 180, you have one Ispasul, the whole thing falls about the
100%. So that's what our issue is, which we're going to have to address right now. Now the question is, how does this get here into this Braisa? Till now the Braisa was talking about the space in between the Chasimus, between the text, and the Chasimus Edom. All of a sudden he starts talking about four or five Edom, Chasum and Meshtar. Chayr has nothing to do with what we were discussing until now. So we're going to see a Mirchem in the Rajbam, two Pshatim. And the first Pshat, the Rajbam says, is the Iker Pshat. What is the Iker Pshat? That this is in fact a direct continuation of before. And this is the, addresses the issues that some of you brought up before. And that is, we have now two spaces between the text and the Edom. So I think, Bill, I think you suggested we should draw a line or something like that. What the Gemara is saying is, I have another Eitzah. Fill it up with fillers. Fillers meaning Edom that will sign in those two spaces. I already have set out on the bottom Nu'um blank for Reuven ben Yaakov and Nu'um for Moshe ben Amram. Nu'um means speaks, which really means these are the witnesses that are testifying. You go and put the word no'am is to speak or to say. So say I by signing on the bottom that I'm testifying that this is all true, what we've just read. But now I have these two lines of space. I have a good idea. Throw in two more Edom in between and make two new lines, have two more Edom, and they will be the fillers, so to speak, to fill up this bad space. Ooh, now the problem is, I didn't have that many kosher Edom near me. Here, when we were doing our deal, or making the halva, I had a couple of brothers with me, and I figured, no, this is not the real Edom. The real Edom is the bottom. So therefore, I'm going to fill in two Edom in the middle, or one, what happens to be a Karev or a Pasul, my brother, my Shvugar, whatever it is, put it into the Shtar, or someone who's not even a kosher Edom, because unfortunately he has somewhat of a criminal record, with or without a presidential pardon. But the point is, can I fill those two in? Says the Bryce here, no problem. So that's why this Bryce is a direct connection to the previous. The previous said, if you have two Shittin, it's possible. Oy, oy, oy. Oh, I have a good idea. Throw in a couple of filler Edom. What happens if some of them happen to be Krovim or Psulim? The sky main is Bishar. Those were never intended to be bona fide testifiers, witnesses on this shtar. They were just to go and fill up the empty blanks. Oh, therefore, just being the remaining Edom underneath, below that, and you're fine. Kusha v'yusha. That's the principal shot that Rishbam learns, as we'll see in a moment. And now you're going to say to yourself, that sounds so strange. Why does it sound strange? If you leave it out totally, you just have blank space, then it's possible. Fill it up with Krovim and Psulim, then it becomes kosher. Does that make sense? When you're adding Psul, you're putting a real live Psule, Edus, or Krovim, no, then that's not kosher. Just leave it blank, no good. Throw in bad, no, then it becomes wonderful. So this is the same that Chesky is saying, yes, you can fill in those blanks, the blank space, by throwing in Krovim, like we just said. The Altisman, don't go and start scratching your head and say, doesn't make sense. If it was blank, not kosher. Throw in Psulim, it is kosher. Shari Avir, Sukka, Poisel, Bishloisha, Schach Posel, Poisel, Biarbo. What does that mean? When Abzim person built a Sukkah, and he put on the top of the Sukkah Schach, and there was an open space on the top of the Sukkah, we didn't have any more Schach. So it's just open. So if you have three tvachim open on the top of the sukkah, that is not a kosher place to go and sit under. With it passels all of the schach, it depends how much schach, how large the sukkah is. But clearly underneath that open area, it's passel. So what should I do? I don't have any kosher schach. I have a good idea. Take some schach posel and throw that in and cover up the three, and then it's going to be kosher. Schach posel is going to be kosher. Yeah, because schach posel only is posel be arba. If you have four tvachim of posel schach, then it's posel. But if you have three tvachim of posel schach, then it's still good. So this empty space of the shloisha, which if you leave it empty, posel, throw in posel schach, and it'll be kosher. Sesigma, same thing as the gabe, the shtar. You leave over the empty space of two lines, posel. Throw in some edim kroivim, some criminals, a psulim, then it'll be kosher. So it's a saying, that's the dimyon, the parallel one to the other. Okay, now looking at the Rishbam. Rishbam says, two pshatim in the Gemara. Now, note the way we learn pshat, is that the Hoyu Abba B'chamisha Edim Chasum Al-Ashtar, that is talking about that the first one or two, Nimtzech Mekar V'Pasul, these were the fillers in that space in between. It doesn't say that expressly in the Gemara, but if you look at the Rishbam starting on the third line, actually the second line, Hachi Garcina, now third line, Befeder Shabbeinu Chananel, Hoyu Abba B'chamisha Edim Chasum Al-Ashtar, the Nimtzeh, now the key words, Shnaim HaRishoinim Kroivim Oipsulim. In our Brisa, we didn't have that Girsa. All we had was Hoyubar Chamishim Edim, the Nimtz Echon Mayhem Karv Apostol. Oh, but it didn't say where. At the front, at the back, in the middle, anywhere. No. Says the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Shneimer Rishoyinim Karv Apostol. The Skyim Edis Bashar, Psy Lechinsky, the Yomar Malayim Karv Kashim. Pirish, says Rishbam, Im Hoyubain Haksav, Li Edim, the Cholok. Cholok means that it was blank. Kishir Shnei Shitim, like we said before. And you filled up, you put in Edim, not because you needed the Edim, you had two kosher Edim on the bottom, but you put those fillers in between. You'll ignore those bad guys, and you'll be Mekayim the Shtar for the other Edim. Period. So now with this emendation, so to speak, with this new Girsa, then the Gemara reads very, very nicely. You had four or five Edim. What's the connection with the empty space of the two Shittim? Because we filled up those two Shittim with Edim Kroivim or Psulim. That's fine, no problem, because you'll be Mekayim, the Edis Bashar, with the rest of the Edim down below. And that, though we said, that this is the Amar Cheskim, Aleo B'Kroivim, said Rishbam, Chaim Kanievsky, wasn't alive at the time, so we couldn't ask him. And he said, I didn't find this Cheskia anywhere throughout Chas. That's shot number one. Our Gemara, our Gemara says, V'yeshloima, but there, the Oiz V'hod, the Gemara has changed that, V'oid Yeshloima, or V'oid Yesh Lefarish, that this is a second shot. The reason why we have to do that is because in about eight lines, Rishbam says, V'linira Loshen Harishayin. We don't have two lashonos, we only have one lashon. So, oh, yesh lefarish means now you have a second shot. What's the second shot? Beget kereach medaber chizkio. Ooh, we're talking about a get kereach. What's a get kereach? So, you'll remember we had this in the Rishbam at the beginning of the perek, that a get kereach is that since a get mekusha has to have at least three edim, so what happens if they made three folds, one after the other, and two edim are signed on? Fold number one and fold number two. But the third fold is empty. That's called the get kereach. The get is bald because you have one or more folds without any edim signed thereon. Ah, so now what happens if I had taka two edim on the two folds and I have the third fold and it's empty and one of the diyanim says, oh, the shtar is not going to pass muster. You have to have at least three edim. What about if I fill that third fold with a karev or a parcel? I don't need it for the et. So you're going to tell me, well, maybe get the kosher, maybe you have to have three kosher edim. Fine. They had four folds. Three were full of edim, but there was a fourth fold without an ed. You got to fill that. If it's otherwise, it's a get kereach, it's a bald get, empty space for a chasima, it's parcel. Says Cheskia, oh, Reb Kiva. It says the Rishbam, the Nirin, the Cheskia, give the Rebbe Akiva, that the Cheskia that we're quoting in the Gemara, that says Malayu Bekroivim Kasher, this relies on Rebbe Akiva. Who's Rebbe Akiva? The Nam Sechus Git. Get Kerecha Koil Mashlim and Olav, Kedivre Benanis. Benanis says you can go and throw in anybody you want into the empty folds where you need to have a filler. You already had your three kosher Edom, but I have one or two or more folds, throw in anybody. Who's anybody? Anybody is not only kroivim, not only psulim, but even avodim, and even ketanim. People that are totally disqualified, they can also fill up those shitois, those folds, which are empty.
That's what about a signing perpendicular? What's then the shitoy?
That was yesterday's Gemara. That was, we had a machloikis between Afuna and a Birmiya Bar Abba, whether you go and fold, whether you sign horizontally, or you'd go and perpendicularly if you do it on the vertical. But you weren't here yesterday.
On the best
side. So we lost the opportunity.
That's on the backside, when you're going to get Koreach.
Yeah. Anyway, Zukti Mariyet, Takam Mashliman Elof Kedir Ben Nathan. Rabbi Kiva, Oimer Ein Mashliman Ela Kroivim Haruuyen Lahoyed B'mokim Acher. Says Rabbi Kiva, no, these cannot be totally disqualified criminals and Rotzchim and Ganovim and Psulim. Kroivim are okay, because even though Kroivim are not okay over here, that's because it's Exeus Akosif. Remember, we had the Gemara the other day, like Moshe Baharin. Moshe Baharin are not trustworthy. They're the most honest people that Klal Yisrael ever had. It's because of Exeus Akosif. However, anywhere else, of course, they could be made. So you can use as fillers as Rabbi Kiva. Don't take Psulim, don't pray them, it's okay. Kach Pirish Ben Chanan. So now the difference between the first pshat and the second pshat is that the first pshat is a direct follow up on the first part of the braisa, which says, don't leave two shittim empty, but fill them up with fillers, even psulim and kraven. And then the second pshat is, we're not talking about a situation where you have blank space between text and between edim. We're talking about that there's blank space in the mokoim or edim on the outside folds that you have to fill up, and he didn't fill it up. So that's the get kareach case, and that's what the Gemara is talking about. Says Rishbam, Flinir Loshan Arishan, the first pshat is a much better pshat. Shasefa Braisik Tony, Hayu Olav, Harboi, Chamisha, Vade mi ein tchilosa mairi. Presumably, this is a follow up to the Reisha of the Braisa. But Milishne Shitim, Hapoisam as Ashtar. Kirik Tony Reisha. The Reisha said that if you had two empty spaces between the text and the chasimais, it's possible. So then the braisa continues on. Instead of making machshirai, instead of making lines or designs or filling it up with something else, fill it up with bad edim, bad meaning kroivim, that will sign in the middle. And that's why it says Masayle the Cheskia. That's what Cheskia is also obviously talking about. How? What? What's so obvious? I didn't find this cheskia, said Rishbam. The braisa ba'alma mairi b'loi mili shnei shitim. If the purpose of this last halach is to go and tell you, not shnei shitim, but just a generic rule that you uleruye din edim psulim shiyaskayim edus b'shar, that whenever you have this situation of bad edim, ignore them and be mekayim the edus with the others. Listen, I'm mesechus malchus. Where does it come? Mesechus baba baser. We should have mesechus malchus. Gabi ayiplok the rabbi v'rabbi oisik. There's a machloikus there. The pligi hasam dinim mominus im tiskayim ha'edis bishar im lav. That what happens if you have many edim, 3, 4, 5, and a couple of them are kroivim apsulim? Can you say ignore those, and we're going to rely on the others or not? And therefore, that's what we should have brought in the gemara. The rabbi and rabbi oisik, and they're not talking about cheskin. Cheskinami im get kareach, Meir. If you're talking about get kareach, matzorch siyua min habraisa. What do we even need the braisa for to go and bring as proof? Mi masis in the gittin, we should go and bring a braisa, the raya from the sechus gittin, the benanas rabbi kiva, that yochol asaya. That's what we just brought a few lines earlier by get kareach. Hakol mashlim and olav, and rabbi kiva says only kroivim and not psulim. So why didn't we bring that? So cheskin masis in the gittin osalash minan. And does cheskin want to bring to the fore the Mishnah in Masechta is getting? Doesn't everybody know that? I don't have to bring a raya to a braisa from a Mishnah. That's why the first pshat is a better pshat than the second pshat. But it's not only that the first pshat is a better pshat, it's also a nafkimina lehalocha. What's a nafkimina lehalocha? If you're going to tell me, according to the first pshat, that we're talking about filling up the empty space between the text and the chasimas edim by putting in two fillers, so then when the Gemara says that nimtz echmi and karv apostle, only those initial guys will say, ignore them, because those are the fillers, even though they happen to be kroivim and psulim, who cares? As long as beneath those we have two kosher edim, we're done. Kosher shtar, everything is great. However, if you're learning like the second shtar, talking about get kireach, then there's no difference whether you're talking about the first chasima, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth. Any time that you have a blank fold, you're going to go and insert one of these names, and don't have to worry about it, because just as that's the lotion of Ar Gemara. Ar Gemara doesn't have that Shnaim Harishayim, just as above Chamishim Edim Chusim Maleshtar. Four or five Edim are signed on all of those folds. Eminem Tzachem and Karev Apostle in one of them. Number three, number four, number five. Turns out to be a Karev Apostle. That's fine, because we just filled in the blank. So according to the second shot, even if it's the last one or the middle one is Karev Apostle, it's kosher. But according to the first shot, it's only if the first two are Karev Apostle, then it's kosher, because those were the fillers to go and fill up the space. So far, so good. One more point that we have to point out is that it's a little bit incongruous in that we start off with Arba v'chamisha edim chasum and v'nim tz'echad mehem koroiv oi posel, and then we bring a ride yimachesky malei b'kroivim kosher. Chesky didn't say malei b'kroivim oi b'psulim. He just said malei b'kroivim. So we're trying to bring a raya to Cheskia from this price. From the price we should go and say koroiv oi posel. And if you notice again the girsa of the Rebbeinu Chananel that we brought from the Rishbam on the top of the Yom Avinimtzu, Shnayim Rishayim Mekroivim Oy Psulim, Tiskayim Ma'edis Bishar, and again Cheskia Maleo Bekroivim. So there's a little bit of a disconnect. Here it says Kroivim Oy Psulim, and it says Kroivim. Now, mind you, that is the same machloikis that we had in the Sechzes Gittin by the Ket Kareach, where Benana says Hakol Mashlim and Olav. You can put in anybody to fill up these blank folds. Please put yourselves on mute. There's some noise in the background. So you have Kroivim Oy Psulim, anybody, according to Benanis, Rabbi Kiva says, no, only Kroivim, which is what Chesky says, only Kroivim. So this disconnect is not my kasha. Toysis already asked this kasha. If you see the Toysis, the Omer Cheskia, go towards, right before you hit the wide lines in the Toysis, three lines before, in the middle of that Toysis, three lines before, V'im Toymar. Everybody have that?
Yeah.
Heich Messiah. The Brisa says very clearly, right? What does it say? Arba v'chamisha edim v'nim tz'echemim korov oy posel v'chizkel emachshir el korov midlei ka'amar posel. Why did he leave out korovim oy psulim? He only said milei b'korovim. So, my time of the cheskia. Why does cheskia argue? V'yeshloim of the cheskia savala k'rabbi kiva. Oh, that's the kiva that we brought in the Rishbam. The Omer Bazoirik by the Ket Kerech. Hakol mashlim and over filler k'rabbi posel. That's according to Ben Nanis. However, according to Rabbi Kiva, only korev al posel loy. Abba Brisa savra ki Ben Nanis. The Brisa that we're quoting in the Gemara, since it says both korev oy posel, it's like Ben Nanis and mechshav b'ket kerech lahashlem afilu eved, even an eved. V'savar kecheski bechoda bekorev. Ah, so what the Tois is saying is that this is only, if you will, a partial raya to Cheskia, meaning that the Brais itself really holds like bananas. The bananas holds you can be mashal with anybody. That's why it's in them tzechem and karev apostle. But at the very least, yesh bechlal messiah mona within kroivim apsulim, you certainly have kroivim, so therefore it's a raya to Cheskia, who does not paskin like bananas, who paskins like Rebbe Akiva, that at the very least, kroivim is kosher. But the Brais, in fact, happens to be even broader, not only kroivim, but even psulim would also be kosher. So, bottom line says, Gemara is telling us, according to the way the Rishbam's favored pshat, the linear loshon rishon, the Brais is not talking about all of the edim like a get kereach. It's talking specifically about this type of get or shtar where there were two empty spaces. And I'm afraid somebody might be mezayif. You can fill it up with two edim, even non-kosher edim. Why? Because we'll be mekayim the edim b'shar with all the other edim down below. Whether you can fill it up with only kroivim or even with psulim, that's totally in the machloikis between Benanis and Rebbe Kiva. And we'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai, to be continuing Mechem tomorrow.
At a wedding,